So my name is RJ Gamboa, for those who don't know me, and I direct a GC initiative called Sidewalk Evangelism, okay? Sidewalk Evangelism. And I just wanted to see, let me see here. Go ahead. Yep. And then the next one. And it's also in partnership. Have you guys heard of Sidewalk Evangelism? Anybody here heard of Sidewalk Evangelism? Very good, very good. And for those who have not heard that, we're actually going to be testing out Sidewalk Evangelism here in Australia. Amen. We're actually going to go out tomorrow for our outreach, and then we're going to go and walk and meet some people out there in Australia. So I'm very excited to do that. And it's the Sidewalk Evangelism is under the umbrella of Sabbath School and Personal Ministries, and it's also in partnership with Outpost Centers International. And what I love about it is it's just a simple method that empowers lay people. Amen? The issue with our churches nowadays is we depend so much on our pastors, and we depend so much on the Bible workers, on the elders and the leaders. But really, you know that Ellen White has a quote that it will be the lay people that's going to finish the work. That's your chance to go say amen. That's you, my brothers and sisters, okay? So I'm very excited to do this tomorrow with you all. And I love about it, too. It's biblical, it's simple, and it actually works. And it's already been promoted in the annual council twice, in the general conference, and it's been featured in the ministry magazine. And one of my favorite parts is they have funding available. So I'll be out there today with Gateway Church and the Gateway Center. I'll be out at the booth for more information on that and for the brochure. So if you want to scan the QR code, please feel free to do that. And in addition to that, I also co-host a podcast that I just started with my brother Calvin, and I'm very excited to do this with you because, you know, just in 1 year of doing the Sidewalk Evangelism, I've been to about 6 different countries. And in these 6 different countries, one of those countries is actually, if you Google it, what is the poorest country in like the world? And one of them is Kinshasa, Congo. And I was there literally, and I'm about to show you some pictures, few months ago. And even in these poor countries, I've noticed that even if they barely have food, they barely have, you know, clothes, they barely have money to have that, but you know what they all have in common? What do y'all think? The internet. Like, they barely even have food. I don't care if I can eat. I don't need to eat. I don't need to wear anything. I just need my internet. So this is why it's such a big burden for me to also be in digital evangelism, and I'm just very excited to do that with you. And as you see here, these are some of the topics that we talk about, anywhere from controversial to relevant topics, how to deal with hurt people in the church, right? So we came out with an episode called Hurt by the Church, and it's just very fascinating to me because this is so much of a need in our church, right? Digital evangelism is such a need in our church, all right? So, and then if you like, you can also scan the QR code. Matter of fact, everybody go over there. Come on, I know these are Gen Zs. Go to that Go Beyond QR code, and then go ahead and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. And then after you do that, go ahead and put the airplane mode on, okay? Airplane mode on. Very good. Now, it's fascinating to me because my brothers and sisters, now when I travel all over the world, last time I went to, you know, the Philippines, I went to Congo, then I went to Thailand a few months ago, and now I'm here in Australia. And one of the things that I do is I do a little research of statistics. And I do a little research and statistics, and what hurts me is across the border, it's the same statistics, right? And let me show you what I'm talking about. So notice this alarming statistic. How many people here in Australia? Anybody know how many people in Australia? It's about 26 million people, 27 million people, right? So Australia's population is about 27 million. Now, question, how many Adventists in Australia? Anyone? 66,000. Very good. It's about 63,000. And this was in June 30th, 2023. So it's grown, right? So it's about 65,000. Now, can someone do the math for me and tell me what percentage that is? You don't have to do the math. I'll tell you. The percentage is 1-2%. And it hurts me, my brothers and sisters, because we talk about we want Jesus to come. We want to hasten the Lord's coming. It's like, hold on. If we go on this rate, Jesus is not going to come back until another 100, 200, 500 years. Are you following? So it hurts me because of this. And notice, that's 63,500 members. That's in the church books. How much of those are actually working for God? So it's not just 0.123%. It's literally like zero. It's like none. So what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is we need to understand this, but I love that we have a solution. Amen? Remember this, with every problem that we have, we always have a solution. Yes? Notice what the solution is. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the what? From the beginning in most difficulties. Is that what it says? It says in every difficulty, he has his way prepared to bring relief. Our heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for which we know not even one. Amen. Those who accept the one principle of making the service and honor of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. So the gospel is a what? Is a wonderful simplifier of life's problems. So we see that that was a huge problem that we're going through, right? In Australia. I mean, 0.1%. Is that a problem? That's a huge problem. And that's all over across the border. You go anywhere else, it's like 0.1%, 0.2%. It's crazy. But I praise God that the gospel is a wonderful simplifier of life's problems. So could it be it's because we truly don't understand the gospel? Just think about that real quick. Let me ask you, okay? What is the gospel? Someone on this side, what is the gospel? This should not be taking us this long. What is the gospel? Just in one sentence. Sorry? Jesus died for our sins. Amen? Anyone else? What is the gospel? The good news. Anyone else? Okay. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I simply want to give you the gospel, okay? Because we understand that we have a huge problem, but the gospel is the solution to that problem, amen? So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, what does it say? It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, whatever comes after this is the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? For it is the, okay, you know, one of my mentor, one of the things that he always tells me is, he says, RJ, put some flesh in it, right? Some vegan flesh, all right? Vegetarian flesh. But now, you know, someone corrected me, oh, in Australia, you actually say put some skin on it. So Australians, I'm asking you, please put some skin in that. What does the power of God mean? Because, you know, when I grew up in the church, you know, some people, you know, I would be like, man, I want to work for God. I want to do this for the Lord. I want to be his co-laborer. What do I have to do? And you know what they often say to me? They say, just give your heart to Jesus. Right? Now, as a young man, and I'm like, hold on. Okay, but what does that mean? Do I have an open heart surgery and be like, here, Jesus, here's my heart. Right? So we got to put some skin on that. What does that mean? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. And as you're turning there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is unto them foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Question. What is the power of God? It's the what? It's the preaching of the cross. Could it be, my brothers and sisters, as Adventists, we focus so much on what the beast is doing that we neglect what the Lamb is doing? Right? I'm on YouTube, as you know, right? When you look up on YouTube, you go, you know, sermons on the mark of the beast, sermon on, you know, all of the conspiracy theories, sermons on this, sermons on that. You know, you get thousands of views. But when you go and type in sermons on the love of Jesus, sermon on Gethsemane on Calvary, how much views do you get? Little to none, right? Now, this is why Paul says this in Ministry of Healing, page 500. He says, for the love of Christ, says Paul, does what? Constraineth us. This was the actuating principle of his conduct. This is why you go to AYC. This is why you go win some souls. This is why you go to church. This is why you're early for Sabbath school. Because the love of Christ. So what is the gospel of Christ? Romans 1:16 says the gospel of Christ is the power of God. What is the power of God? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says it's the preaching of the cross. This was the actuating motive power of Paul. Same thing. Look at what it says. Christ crucified. Talk it, pray it, sing it, and it will do what? Break and win hearts. My brothers and sisters, if you want to be a powerful soul winner, go and talk and pray and sing about Christ and Him crucified. Amen? This is the power. Notice that. It's the power and wisdom of God to gather souls for Christ. Notice this. It says formal set phrases, the presentation of merely argumentative subjects. Do you know what we usually do? That's what we usually do. As we do evangelistic meetings, what we do? I'm gonna put this and frame this so that no one can argue it, right? Inspiration actually tells us formal set phrases and presentation for merely argumentative subjects is productive of how good? How good? Is little good. But what? The melting love of God in the hearts of the workers will be recognized by those for whom they labor. My brothers and sisters, when we go out there, tomorrow, wherever, may everybody see the love of God within our hearts. Amen? And that's what I want for my life. And did you know that this was inspiration, right? Tells us that it will be. And then, you know, Pastor Shane's mentioned this last night. And, you know, how do you do this practically, right? How do you do that? How do you put some skin on it? It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in the contemplation of the life of Christ. Then it says we should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the what? The closing ones. What is the closing scenes of Jesus' life? Gethsemane, Calvary, right? And then did you know once we do this, as we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, three things will happen. Number one, our confidence in him will be more constant. How many of you, your confidence in God is not constant? It's wavering, right? You feel like, Lord, I don't know why, but my confidence in you is not great. It's constant. It's not constant. It's wavering. This may be the solution for that. And then it says our love will be what? Quickened. And then she says we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit. If we would be saved at last, how many of you want to be saved? Only a few of you. Okay. How many of you want to be saved? Yes? Look, I'm telling you the gospel. I'm telling you, like, how really simple it is. If we would be saved at last, it says we must learn the lessons of what? Penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. My brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to focus more heavily on. Did you know that this was Christ's favorite theme? When he was here on earth, it was his favorite theme. Did you know that his favorite theme was the paternal character and abundant love of God? What does paternal mean? Anybody know what paternal means? Fatherly, right? Parental, parents. Did you know that that was Christ's favorite theme, was the paternal character and abundant love of God? This knowledge of God was Christ's own gift to men, and this gift he has committed to his people to be communicated to by them to the world. Same thing, you know, the beloved John, do you know what his favorite theme was? His favorite theme was the infinite love of Jesus, right? And then, did you know Paul? Paul's favorite theme, if he's persuaded, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, my brothers and sisters, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, when I understood this, when I understood the gospel, the essence of the gospel, right? It's like, Lord, you have been so good to me. And then I felt like my spirituality, don't get me wrong, I have not arrived, nowhere near arrived. My wife will tell you I have a lot of issues, okay? But I know that I was different than I was before. And what happened, so when I started doing this in New York, sidewalk evangelism started in New York, and then they started small groups in sidewalk evangelism. And what happened was now they have like 5 different small groups going on the weekly basis, every single week, right? Then you go to Congo, we trained about 1,200 people, and like union leaders and division leaders and stuff like that walked with us and started passing out, you know, brochures and things of that nature. It was just everywhere that the Lord was just blessing. Notice this guy. You know, so in Congo, what they did was they put up tents. And he said, Brother RJ, this is the best way that we can do sidewalk evangelism. I was like, no problem. So what are you guys going to do in those sidewalk evangelism and those tents? We're going to go bring people there. I mean, no, we're going to bring leaders there, and someone's going to manhandle that tent. And you know, this little kid, you know how old he is? He's only 10 years old, and he was the one in charge of that tent when people will flock over there for some Bible studies. My brothers and sisters, if a 10-year-old can do it, you and I can, right? Then we continue to do that. As a result of that, baptisms, 24 people got baptized. Then we go to China, and in China, all of this is happening. Of course, sidewalk evangelism, small groups and things like that. You know, talk to Elder Johnny Wong and Gateway and We Center. Like, they're doing these care groups, and we're collaborating with them and how to do this. Notice that. Notice the faces. It's blurred out, right? You know, in China, if you get caught doing any small groups or even opening the Bible, you can literally be killed right now, 2024. And we're here in Australia. We have all the freedom to go talk to people all over the world, and we have that chance tomorrow. But then yet, we're so timid in doing this, right? In Thailand, and I'm gonna fast forward here. My neighbor, you know, I've had the privilege to baptize my neighbor Rachel. Literally, all we did was bring her food. We didn't even say anything about the gospel. We didn't say anything about Jesus. We didn't say anything about religion. All we did was bring her food. And you know what? She came up to us and she says, "Hey, can you do Bible studies with me?" Right? This lady, right? She was Muslim. She literally came to church. She Googled media. Right? She Googled, and then she says, I want to be a Christian. And then our church pops up over there, Weimar. She comes up to us. I do Bible studies with her. She also gets baptized. Right? And it reminds me of this quote where it says, all over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Notice this. It says, many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. Waiting only to be gathered in. There's so many people out there in Australia right now in Melbourne, literally waiting for someone like you and me to gather these souls for Christ. And I know my time's up, and I'm gonna end with this. If that's you today and you're like, Lord, I want to be literally a part of your group. I want to be those laborers. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And if that's you today, just raise your hand. I just want to see you raise your hand, right? And I better see you tomorrow in outreach. You're raising your hand and you're not in outreach. I'm just kidding. But please be out there. God bless you, and thank you so much.